The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Little pre-countdown toast there on the video as Alex raises a glass and I'll raise my glass as well. They called it Super Wild Card Weekend. 2 days, six standalone games, mainlining football, though sometimes it felt like that second piece of cake where you're like, do I need it? No. Am I going to finish it out of principle? I guess so. Was it a good idea? Meh. I'm not so sure, but either way, there was a lot of football to watch, and now we know, of course, that your Green Bay Packers will host the LA Rams at Lambeau Field this Saturday afternoon. I am Zach Rapport, and this is the APC Podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com. Follow us on Twitter at the APC Pod. Follow me at Zach Rapport, and I am joined by Alex Patakis at Alex Patakis on Twitter. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I had to cut off my video camera here, so you won't be able to see me. My internet's been, you know, we're already off the rails. Internet problems. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. What are you drinking there? I toasted. I have some Buffalo Trace bourbon there. You have a fancy glass.
Oh, nice. I have some wine again. This is Greek wine, actually. I'm keeping the white wine theme going. Why not? Typically drink reds in the wintertime, but this was just had the podcast written all over it when I was looking at it.
It almost looks like an orange wine. You ever had an orange wine before?
I do enjoy orange wines. Yeah, this one, it's definitely almost orange in color. I don't know too much about wine, but I know what I like to drink. and this is certainly one of them. And it was leading up to the show, and I started having like the debate I have with myself pretty much every time we're getting ready to record. We're within like 30 minutes of when we're scheduled to get together over the interwebs and talk about the Packers, which is like, do I want to do this podcast with just like a glass of water next to me to like clear my throat, or do I want to do this podcast with a drink?
And it's always better with a drink.
I mean, I went this route, which is usually the route I take.
Speaking of wine, we had a fun interaction over the course of last week with a listener to our buddy John Meerdink's podcast, Blue 58, who said, I think he's in, I forget his name, and I don't want to look it up for fear of ruining my internet trying to do two things at the same time. But he is in, I believe, Kansas City. He works at, maybe runs, I don't remember, a wine shop, and he listens to Packers podcasts while he is working there. And I think it's a really funny concept to think about my annoying voice and banter, like blasting over the airwaves at a wine shop while someone's like browsing for what kind of Tempur Neo they want to nurse over the over the weekend. Although John Meerdink's voice, I think, is very appropriate for the wine store atmosphere. But maybe we'll do a crossover pod this summer and talk wine and cheese pairings for your next Packer party whenever we're allowed to be in the same room again.
Could not be more into that idea. It's a wine shop in Kansas City, and it's at Not Hundley. LaFleur for my LaFleur is his Twitter. I'm trying to find his actual name back in these notes. I too am also struggling on the internet right now, trying to do a couple of different things at once. But That was super cool. And I believe he also mentioned that he had a scout come into the shop, right? Like a
he had a scout come into the shop, noticed that there was Packers talk over the airwaves and said, "Hey, are you a Packers fan?" And they got to talking for a second. The guy ran out to his car and came back in with a bunch of Packers merch. Turns out he was a scout for the team. It also turns out, I believe, that he was, I think, the nephew of Santana Dotson.
Oh, wow. So this is like just really cool for a lot of reasons, but that's pretty amazing. I must have missed that detail in the back and forth on Twitter, but pretty sweet. Good for you, John, for having a wine store like vibe. Cause that's a pretty cool vibe for a podcast. That's like my kind of Packer podcast.
Well, I think, and John does a great job with his show. I think that he's very much a wine show vibe. And I kind of balked at the thought of us being a wine show vibe. Maybe. I don't know. There's a little profanity.
I probably curse too much. Sometimes get heated. I find my voice like, you know, very off-putting as opposed to soothing. I think if it was just you could probably get away with it. But yeah, I probably ruined that for you.
Thanks. All right, let's talk football. Did you imbibe football content all weekend? We talked about mainlining football, super wild card weekend, 6 games. Were you glued to your couch?
Yeah, so I watched a lot of it. I mean, it was cool to just, I mean, I love the 3 time slots. Because at least, you know, like if you can't find anything to do with any period of your day on that weekend, you could always fall back on watching a playoff game. And I did just that, you know. I would say like funny enough, the Rams game ended up being the game on Saturday that I saw the least amount of, though I did still see most of it. But I would say that was the period in the day of me actually doing things as opposed to just being couch bound. But it was good. I mean, Super Wild Card Weekend is like a weird name. I mean, yeah. You know, we've had a lot of time to prepare for this. I don't really know why that's what you land on. I get that it's not just Wild Card Weekend because it's better than that. But that almost sounds like something we would jokingly call it. But anyway, how did you experience it? Because I was tired on Sunday at a long weekend to celebrate a friend's 30th birthday. So Sunday was a great day to like veg out and watch, but I was very much, and I think you might have mentioned this yourself on Twitter perhaps, I was very much in like watching football, but if I happen to doze off, I'm totally fine with that mode.
Yeah, I think I said that in regards to, there was a game that was broadcast on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah. So that was the Saints-Bears game, which was...
Yes, yes.
Perfect napping material regardless.
Yeah. So 21-9 was the final score to that game. And I remember joking that Nickelodeon was giving these young new to football fans a crash course in the glory that is just assing out on the couch to an absolutely unwatchable, boring game and just letting the white noise kind of wash over you. And then you wake up 3 hours later with drool all over your face.
Yeah.
A great American tradition.
Did you watch on Nickelodeon for a bit?
I did not. I did not have access to that feed. Okay. But if you were on Twitter, and maybe it's just the Twitter circle that I roll in, a lot of people were sort of live tweeting the Nickelodeon broadcast. So I feel like I got a good flavor for what it is. Personally, I think it's a little weird to broadcast a violent professional sport, but
yeah. My hot take was basically that I didn't find it to be that cool at all. And I also think that, like, I mean, I appreciate that it's new and it's very fun, but I think all it did was make me mad that like our standard for football coverage isn't fun to begin with. You know, like I like that they're kind of making light of it, but I kind of wish it was done in a professional manner that wasn't geared towards like very small children. And that we can do that on CBS or whatever.
Totally.
So maybe like one day down the road, CBS is the worst example because they're like, I mean, I guess Romo made that network fun. But other than that, I said it's like the least fun network to watch football on. One day down the road, what I crave is where I can just pay somebody to stream Packer games, not have to buy some other package so that I can watch Cardinals games because I don't really give a shit. And that coverage also won't act like it's like this, you know, that the sanctity of football needs to be protected at all right. times. And like, maybe there can be some entertainment value beyond just the product of the sport. But I guess that's too much to ask for now.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just entertainment value, but educational value as well. The one thing, my sort of takeaway from seeing people's reactions to the Nickelodeon coverage was that people thought they did a really good job of explaining the world's most complicated and convoluted sport to new fans. And I'm someone who, my partner has very graciously been watching all these games with me, and she doesn't follow football, and she's learned a lot, but not a whole lot, because these broadcasts don't do a great job of actually explaining what is, when you get down to it, a super complicated game. And it's, I don't know, I wish there was more of that in some of these broadcasts.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, to me, I don't know why, we're just breaking down broadcasts now, but NBC is by far the highest broadcast quality of the
top
sport.
Notch, yep.
And that is because, at the very least, you learn from Chris Collinsworth. His enthusiasm is like infectious, because he just loves like everything that, you know, everything he's explaining to you, he has such a passion for.
Here's a guy.
Yeah. Like, and maybe one day down the road, like, Al Michaels won't have to be so veiled with his clear betting, you know, gambling references as sports gambling continues to become legal, like in more and more places. Like, let's call it what it is, man. We're all doing the same thing.
Al Michaels has a literal paper sports book like falling out of his pocket as he's talking.
I mean, it's insane. It took me this long to realize. I don't know why, but you know what it took to realize? The Browns just running away with the game in the first yep. quarter against the Steelers, and how upset that made Al Michaels. Like, I mean, he clearly did not take the Browns in that game. But yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But anyway, the Nickelodeon thing, cool, whatever. I mean, the graphics, I guess that's fine. I don't really remember wishing that football when I was young was more fun. I thought it was like the most yeah. fun, and it's gotten progressively less yeah. fun probably as I got older.
I mean, maybe it says something about they've got market research that shows that like kids aren't dialing in anymore the way that they used to. One funny note though about that game, New Orleans and Chicago was, I don't know if you have watched that whole game, but the game ended with Jimmy Graham scoring a touchdown, a meaningless touchdown,
yeah.
and then immediately making a beeline for the tunnel as just to pull the curtain on his Bears career.
Just an insane one-handed catch. And yeah, that was, that was awesome. Hats off to him. And that was the touchdown that the Packers wouldn't let him score, which we talked about last week, which I was so glad they didn't. So whatever, yeah. I guess we have a little more pride in that scenario than the Saints do. Even though he was a longtime Saint yeah. and probably made his bones with them. But that was hilarious. I mean, a walk-off in a bad yeah. way, I guess you don't really get in sports that much.
I guess my only other note for Wild Card Weekend was watching Tampa Bay and Washington. And I tweeted out something to this effect, but it was really nice of the NFC to make Tom Brady feel at home and feel comfortable in the playoffs by giving him just this total cakewalk game against a team with a losing record and a literal practice squad quarterback.
Yeah. So annoying. Whatever. I'm glad we don't have to face them right away. I feel like maybe the Saints could help out the Packers and just kind of take care of them. And then, you know, maybe we can be hosting the Saints, which makes me feel really good. Because watching Drew Brees, I mean, that's like, man, this has got to be it for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brady, man. Heinicke,
yep.
right? Who did other people know who that like was before?
I'd heard the name before because I think he had bounced around a few teams as a backup. But it's not like I didn't have his scouting report committed to memory. I hadn't seen him take any reps before.
He did sort of well.
He did okay.
He kept it in a one-score yeah. game. It was a push, I guess. They didn't quite cover.
Al Michaels was so angry.
No, I'm sure he was. Oh, he definitely had Washington plus eight. That's probably why he went into the Browns-Steelers game so pissed off.
like, come on, Big Ben. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, for real. I just love it. I love when it's like, you know, like the total, the over under was like 50 and a half and the game's at 50 points with like a field goal coming up. That's like meaningless. And he's like, I wonder who might be interested in this field goal. It's like, literally, it's like, dude, just like,
say it.
It's hilarious. I think it's hilarious, but it also paints him as like so grumpy. Yeah. It's like, well, it's funny. You would think too, like, yeah, all the insight you get during the week, you'd be like, I don't know, a little more into maybe your win percentage on bets would be a little bit higher, but whatever.
He's old school. He just reads the paper. And if he likes your uniform,
yeah,
the cut of your jib, he'll pick you.
For sure.
All right. So it's Rams Packers. The Rams coming to Lambeau Field. Firstly, and you said you didn't pay as close attention to this game, but LA over Seattle 30-20. And I guess it was categorized as an upset, but watching that game, I mean, my takeaway was less this Rams team is like, you gotta, you know, like an upstart that you gotta look out for, and more like Seattle is just falling apart, man. Not good. Not a good team by the end of the season.
Yeah, I would say I agree with that completely. The wheels really came off fast early in the season. That looked like the team the Packers would be really competing with for home field advantage. Yep. It looked like the team that, you know, you just didn't want to face and that could probably come back and haunt you. And I'm, you know, I'm glad the Rams took care of business. I think it was also just one of those games, like certain teams, divisional opponents like that, sometimes just have your number, or even if they don't always like get the best of you, they just really make life difficult for you. So I think we probably should have expected that going in. So
yeah, that's fair.
Well, I guess technically it wasn't an upset, or it was an upset. I agree in that it certainly didn't feel like one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hats off to them. I prefer this matchup, certainly. So I'm glad that that happened. I mean, I think the only way I wouldn't have is if somehow Chicago or Washington would have been, or Washington wouldn't, but I guess if Chicago would have been able to come to Green Bay instead. But like I said, I really don't want Tampa at this moment. That's somebody else's problem. Yep. So I'm glad to be facing the Rams. And, you know, I go into it with a pretty reasonable degree of confidence into this game. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, seeing them do that to the Seahawks, like you said, is way more about the Seahawks just kind of stumbling to the finish line of this season, and playing the game in freezing temperatures at Lambeau just changes things dramatically. You know, when you're talking about like a team that has its quarterback who was thrust into action after being hurt with a thumb injury, who's only played in two freezing games, who's 0-2, I believe, Jared Goff. Or no, he's not 0-2. He's 1-1, but he's played like shit in both games, even in the win. You know, going against a team that's like, weather doesn't impact them right now, you know?
Yeah. Two games below freezing, Jared Goff has thrown 0 touchdowns and 5 picks.
Yeah. And I saw today, Aaron Rodgers in his last 10 games in freezing temperatures since 2016, 10-0. So, you know, we know that it doesn't really impact him that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can just see a scenario where, yeah, the Rams offense is great, and, or excuse me, the Rams defense is great, and we'll get into it more in a minute. But I think that my confidence going into this game is entirely about, I cannot picture and would really struggle to convince myself Jared Goff could go there and put together a performance good enough to beat the Packers.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
As you mentioned, like to my surprise last week, the Packers run defense has gotten a little bit better. Like for whatever the reasons are, you know, the game scenarios, their offense clicking and making it so the other team can't really grind out the clock, whatever it is. They're not that team. It's like that's going to get beat on the ground the way they did to the Niners last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Packers D has the fifth best EPA per play since week 8. So stingy with the points on a per play average. And kind of the peak of that stretch was the Tennessee game where the Packers really shut down Tannehill, but more importantly, they bottled up Derrick Henry. And I kind of feel like a similar formula could work in this game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because the Rams are going to have to find balance. And, you know, hope that they can do the whole, like, let's keep Aaron Rodgers off the field thing.
Yeah.
Which again, yeah, like, am I expecting not to see J.K. Scott in this game? No. Like, you know, the Packers might punt. Yeah. But I the way this offense is, the rhythm that Rodgers is in, the season he's been having, as healthy as the Packers are also, like one of their cleanest injury reports in a while. I think that that really bodes well. In fact, I'm actually shocked that it's just right now a one score point spread. You know, a one touchdown point spread.
And it's Tuesday evening as we record this. I don't know. Maybe I think feel like that'll move a little bit.
Yeah, so they opened up as 7-point favorites. I looked right before we sat down at 6.5. I mean, it's like you'll get those fluctuations throughout the week, but I wonder how much that might change when we get to Saturday. By the way, I was elated to get the Saturday afternoon game. I don't know about you.
Let's get it out of the way, man.
Oh, I just love that. I love that. because it's like, then I could enjoy whatever else is on Saturday night, Sunday, or I could just not, you know, if I'm like sad, I just don't have to even invest, you know, which is great. So I was super pumped about that time slot.
Yeah. Here's a stat for you. Getting back to a little bit of game planning. If the Packers defense can sort of replicate that Tennessee performance where they come out really strong against the run on first down, the Rams are 27th in the league in converting second and 8+ yards. 27th. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay ahead in the chains, or I guess keep the Rams behind in the down and distance. And
the chains, the stick, someone's in front of them, someone's behind them. Do the good thing.
It's that's pretty good. Damn. Yeah, that's bad, man.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, I mean, you know, and you mentioned Goff with he had thumb surgery, like, I don't know, 12 minutes ago, and he's back in the game. Meanwhile, Wolford suffers what they call a stinger. It looks like a pretty bad neck injury in that game. I don't know if you actually saw that, but they show this clip of him on the sideline and they're like lightly touching his neck and he's like, fuck. And then he goes to the hospital. So that's their two options at quarterback. And even if either one is mostly healthy and ready for this game, they kind of seem like similarly okay, but limited quarterbacks that I'm not that worried about, and maybe foolishly so, but I don't know. I'm not that worried.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That side of the ball, not worried. So I guess if we were to go over to the other side of the ball, like Aaron Donald is also super, you know, capable of causing a lot of problems. That being said, we've been giving props nonstop to this Packers offensive line. And when this offense is in rhythm, it's not like, you know, a few years ago when Rodgers is just sitting back there, you know, trying to elude pressure and find somebody downfield. They can go quick release the entire game. They can, you know, make their lives easy just based on motion and alignment and all of those things. But I guess the one thing that stands in the way of that in terms of, you know, eliminating a side or a player is Jalen Ramsey. So how do you feel about, you know, everyone's kind of highlighting this Devontae Adams, Jalen Ramsey matchup, and I find it interesting, but I also don't know, like, is Ramsey going to shadow Adams the whole game? I don't know if that's what the Rams do, but like Adams' success on the field comes from a lot of areas. He's not in any way a guy who's just going to play, you know, the X position or the Z position. Like he can work out of the slot. They can put him wherever in this offense. And is Jalen Ramsey expected to just kind of follow him the whole time?
Yeah. Our buddy Tex Western wrote an article up at the blog acmepackingcompany.com about Adams v. Ramsey sort of being a battle for the ages, and he makes the case for this to be the battle to watch in this game. I tend to agree with you that while I think that Ramsey is an elite player, a top tier corner, I also think that they just use Adams in such a variety of ways that even if Adams doesn't ball out and have another, you know, ho-hum 170 yard, 3-touchdown game, he's still going to get his and help the team move the chains from whatever position they need. And then you've got, you know, Big Bob, you've got Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Got Dominique Daphne now. I mean, come on. So I don't know. I think Ramsey is obviously a player to be respected. I think he's going to give He's going to represent a big, big challenge for the Packers, especially in sort of the deeper passing game. But ultimately, I don't know if that's enough to make the difference in this game, especially when you talk about Aaron Donald, another elite player, coming into this game with torn rib cartilage, which seems not good for him. And he was did not participate today in practice, as well as Cooper Kupp, by the way. But or did he? I don't remember. I don't have the report in front of me. Either way, I'm rambling a bit. I think that Adams is gonna get his. Sometimes getting his looks like 80 yards and a clutch touchdown when the team needs it. Sometimes it looks like 180 yards and three touchdowns. I think either way bodes well for the team.
Yeah, I completely agree. I guess if I had to sum it up, I can't really picture the Packers being in a precarious situation late in this game without having some like sloppiness, whether it be turnovers or penalties early on. You know what I mean? Like that the Bucks game went south so fast that it made sense, that it played into their hands, that a lot of what the Packers do well, I think, was just kind of like taken from them early, you know, and like they had to completely adjust their game plan. Whereas now this coaching staff, it's amazing the difference in, you know, in LaFleur and McCarthy. Because if this were like a few years ago and Davante Adams had the same exact season, I would say that, you know, Jalen Ramsey worries me, because I think that if you eliminate Adams, like maybe our staff isn't creative enough to come up with other ways to beat you. But that's, I mean, this is, you know, this offense is one of the best in the league. Rodgers is probably going to win the MVP, and it's because they're so creative that they can beat you with anybody. You know, they can beat you with a 2 or 3 touchdown game from Big Bob. They could beat you with a game where Aaron Jones just shows that he's a super complete back. You know, they could beat you sometimes taking their shots with MVS, catching a deep one over your second or third corner, because you're investing so many of your resources in trying to stop Adams. So
you just
got to
try MVS. Three times over the top, you'll get one of them.
Yeah. Honestly. So I don't know. I maybe I sound like I have too much bravado going into this game, but again, I just don't trust the Rams to be able to capitalize on the offensive side of the ball that puts the Packers in a situation where they can get out of rhythm or off schedule, as they like to say, in the NFL. Yeah. Like if the Packers stay on schedule, I think they'll be fine. I honestly expect them to cover and win by, but you know, a 2-score victory is kind of something that I'm hoping to see to kind of build that confidence going into the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and it's going to be about execution. It's also going to be about game plan, as you alluded to, a battle of the brainy bros, McVay versus Matt LaFleur. Who has the better face hair beard routine between the two?
I mean, yeah, that is a hotly contested battle. Certainly, probably more competitive than I think that this game is going to be. I still can't. Whenever I see McVay now, I just see Ben Foldy, because like the few times that I think like Ben would come home from work and just be like, you know, dressed in work clothes and just looked like he was like sitting down for his midweek press conference as Sean McVay, which was just like, I can't get that out of my head now. I do want to mention though one thing, and I've seen it a lot on Packers Twitter, people talking about the Jalen Ramsey Davante Adams matchup, the health status of Cooper Kupp. I mean, Robert Woods is also really good. Another big, you know, reason for my confidence is, in addition to my lack of faith in Jared Goff, like you cannot deny what Jair Alexander has done to, you know, really dangerous number one receivers in this league.
Yep.
And I think what was popular on Packers Twitter this week is people, you know, framing the conversation of Davante Adams against Jalen Ramsey as not the number one receiver against number one corner, because the number one corner is also on the Packers.
Yeah.
And I kind of have to agree. I mean, you can't argue, like, it's fucking insane that he didn't give up more than 30 yards or something to a number one receiver since week one.
Yeah, he did it in the first week. Yeah.
In week one. So this guy went 15 more games sharing, you know, taking on the lion's share of reps against other teams' number one receivers, and just, you know, like nothing
shut
happened.
Down.
It was like, yeah. It was just like, oh, those guys don't exist anymore.
It's lonely times out there. Yeah.
The Packers haven't had that in a really long time. I mean, Tremont Williams was great. Charles Woodson, obviously incredible, created a ton of turnovers, defensive player of the year, but they haven't had that, an eraser, in a long time. You know, I can't even really remember the last guy who in that like fashion did that. So that's huge, because how else, you know, if the Rams are going to get big outings from those guys, from Kupp, Woods, where's it coming from?
Yeah. Nowhere.
Yeah, I guess. Man, I sound like way too confident. This is all
I was like, ooh, I don't want to eat those words.
Yeah, seriously. I can't see the obvious guy. I can't find a way to be pessimistic, which I feel like I usually can, you know, but I don't know. I feel pretty good going into this one.
Well, speaking of the obvious guy, I mean, Devontae Adams is the Packers' obvious guy on offense. Ben tweets in, which receiver whose name doesn't start with a D and end with Avante Adams will have the best game? So there's a few to choose from if you had to predict. Who's going to have the best game? I don't know. Big Bob? I might say Big Bob.
If we're counting him as a pass catcher, I would agree. Like, if we're just saying pass catchers and he's lumped in that conversation, which I would assume, you know, that that's kind of the basis of the question, then yes, I would agree. Big Bob, for sure.
Yeah. I also think maybe this is now officially me being overly enthusiastic about this game, but like, I smell like a sneaky, like, productive Alan Lazard game coming. We haven't had one in a while. He's been coming back from injury. And I feel like, I don't know, don't sleep on the alien lizard, man.
Yeah, I can see that too. You know, it's especially, you know, with the whole Adams Ramsey thing. Like you said, a sneaky productive day for Lazard. I like what you said about Adams, just like a, you know, his it could be like 80 yards and a big touchdown down in the red zone, like that, you know, when they really need it. I think like a sneaky productive day for Lazard could be, you know, like a 5 or 6 catch performance for, you know,
63 yards,
60,
or whatever,
70 yards, whatever. But that, you know, a couple on third down, you know, take some of that pressure off of Adams having to be the guy the whole time. And there will be shot plays to MVS. So I was tempted to pick him, but I have, my faith in him is obviously in the same place as many Packers fans. And I just think that the quick game going, a little Big Bob in the middle of the field, I kind of like that.
A little bit of Big Bob. Let's go to a question coming in from, oh man, Steamed Hams. What a great handle. he says, this game is all about keeping Aaron clean, right? And I wanted to steer that way because we touched on the offensive line and we touched on Aaron Donald as well, but we haven't even mentioned the fact that the Packers went to Jared this week and signed Jared Valdir, who now will become the first player in NFL history to play for two different teams in the same playoffs in the same season because of quirky COVID rules. And he was on the Colts practice squad. He was elevated for the game last week. They got eliminated, went back to the practice squad, and the Packers picked him up. And a sturdy lineman, insurance when they need it most against a potentially very, very frisky defensive front over in LA.
Yeah. I saw Matt LaFleur say that his involvement in this game is going to have a lot to do with how much he can recall from a year ago. And it just boggles my mind to think that, like, oh, not a year ago, but a week ago, you know, I'm sure the NFL offense has used some, like, they're similar schemes. There is different terminology, and we're in year two of the LaFleur offense. I think some things have probably changed there even. And to imagine him just kind of walking in and like, just picking up where he left off, seems impossible, but that's so incredible. It is because of COVID rules, right? Like, I'm not crazy to think that that could not have happened in other seasons.
No, because of his age and his veteran status, he wouldn't actually be eligible for a practice squad in other seasons. He would have aged out of that, but they got rid of that pre-qualifier for the practice squad this year, just so, and I believe expanded the number of players you can have, just so that players could have a better reserve, teams could have a better reserve of players, rather, should they need it. So yes, it is a 2020 season specific thing, and a big props to Russ Ball and Goody. The front office, the bat signal goes off and they make it happen. They've done that a few times this year, bringing in Tavon Austin, who we can go back and forth about how awesome that has been with his fumble recently. But then of course Snacks Harrison comes in. He's played meaningful snaps and I, most people feel pretty positively about that. And now with Valdir, I mean, this is like a front office that's making some really crafty moves for a postseason run with not very much money.
Those things matter, man. You could think of a handful of free agents that really contributed to the Packers' Super Bowl run in 2010 that weren't household names and, you know, not predominant figures, but that certainly played a role. So, but on the practice squad thing, I'm cool to keep that. That's like one of those few things that like COVID brought on, but that actually just make way more sense. Like in the same way that I pretty much don't ever need to touch a physical menu at a restaurant again, like give me that QR code. Cause like, even if there wasn't a global pandemic, I still wouldn't want the germs that exist on these laminated pieces of paper that are in like 1,000 people's hands. Right. I think that there's just certain things that just, it's like COVID brought this on, but let's just keep that because this is a brutal fucking sport and you should be able to have a lot of guys, regardless of their veteran status, at your disposal.
Yeah, I agree. No D League. There's just so many restrictions on rosters and how many players you can have and how long they can have been in the league and all this stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's a hard sport to master. Takes a while for some players. It's a brutal sport. Just give these guys more chances, man. There's not that many players that can do it, but there's enough to populate all these teams and it'll help more teams field a palatable product on Sunday, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that's what I'm all about. Palatable product, which I think we'll have a decent amount of this weekend again. You know, I am also kind of excited about Breeze, Brady. You know, the whole like 40-year-old thing's a little overblown, but I just, you know, assuming things go well on Saturday, I'm gonna have a super vested interest in that matchup. Because like, man, the Saints are dangerous. I'm not downplaying them. They're a very good team. But when you watch Drew Brees play and you think about him against the Packers in like 19 degree weather, and you think about what happened when they matched up earlier in the season, like the Super Bowl is very attainable. You know, yeah. I didn't feel that last year. I mean, obviously I was like hopeful, but it was like San Francisco is going to be a freaking bear. Like that's going to suck. Whereas like, man, things are just kind of lining up for the Packers right now. Pretty well. And I just gotta, this is the weekend to get through and then it's there.
It's crazy how that home field advantage sort of changes your outlook on things.
Right. Yeah. Imagine that. But they got the job done this year and it's huge. And I know Rodgers is in quite a mood. Like he's hosting Jeopardy again, or not again, but he's guest hosting Jeopardy, as one of the many guest hosts now. And after the sad passing of Alex Trebek, you know, he's just kind of on one. You just feel like his whole vibe is just like
he's on one. That's a great way
to put
it.
He really is, man. This guy is like, he's just loving life right now, which also just puts me at ease. It's hilarious that his attitude really impacts my life. But it's true.
Before we get out of here, one last question I kind of put out to Twitter. I asked people for their input on the show and also asked them what they were going to be snacking on during during the game this weekend, and got some good stuff back. Noah said that he was going to be smoking some ribs. I got for Christmas a very nice a very nice cutting board slash like cheese charcuterie board shaped like Wisconsin with all kinds of like,
oh, that's cool,
cities and little attractions burned into it. And I'm gonna seek out some port wine cheese spread, which is a delicacy from my childhood that I haven't had in a long time. Get some, I don't know, some club crackers or something. Maybe try to find a sausage, a worthy sausage in Albuquerque. What about you? Got any food plans?
You know, nothing set in stone, but there are some go-tos throughout the football season that we have established. So when we had to kind of always be rotating homes because of NFL ticket and all that stuff, like the streaming package and just like burning through free trials of everyone we know, we developed this thing called the Chili Club, which is basically like we would make a different chili every time we got together to watch the Packers. But I think we're going to be guests at someone else's home, so I can't commit to making chili and bringing it over. I don't want to travel with a crock pot. But we probably will make buffalo chicken dip, which is also just like a super football-y snack.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's like Saturday afternoon. I'll probably get a nice like base going with like some type of like breakfast at home, nothing crazy. And then just, you know, I'll be like watching the game, nervously pacing, standing up and snacking as opposed to eating like a full on meal.
Yeah.
So I think buffalo chicken dip, maybe like a halftime order of wings, very stereotypical football-y things, I think would be. Just what I'm doing.
Yeah. Follow the recommendation of all the commercials, basically.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. Like I'm going all in on all that stuff. You know, if I had a grill or a smoke or anything like that, I'd want to like do it up big, but I don't have that.
you are right to try to avoid traipsing across town with a big pot of chili. If we've learned anything from Kevin Malone, you don't want to.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. I could just see myself stumbling out of an Uber and dropping it all over a street somewhere.
Instead of an office floor, yeah, it's just like a Brooklyn street corner and it's just going down the drain. And,
oh yeah.
It's probably the thing I do best. Oh man, I don't know. I was gonna punctuate the show with predictions. I kind of feel like maybe is that jinxing? Should we not give predictions? We both feel pretty optimistic, and I wonder if putting too fine a point on it is just we're gonna have egg on our face and people are gonna say we jinxed it. I don't know if you believe in that, or if you want to give a prediction, how do you feel?
Well, I guess I already said, you know, maybe I don't need to give a score, but I feel like the Packers win and cover. So I hope I didn't already jinx it and then just like double jinx it by saying that. But screw it. Yeah, like we're not, you know, it's I'm thinking like 27, 13 kind of vibe in this game, you know.
That's almost exactly what I was going to say. I agree. The Packers, they win for Packer Nation and they cover for Al Michaels.
Yeah, exactly. Do it for Al. Oh, man. It's amazing.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's all I got. I guess that's gonna do it for us.
All right.
I'm going to hit the polka. Follow us on Twitter at the APC Pod as well. The Cycle for Survival is still going on.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to give a quick thank you. I saw, you know, our podcast Twitter tweeted it out. It is pinned on my Twitter page. And we got some donations going. We're hitting the ground running with the fundraising. We have months and months to do it. But, you know, if now's a good time for you, we really appreciate it. So thank you sincerely to those listeners, because we have a few who have contributed to rare cancer research. You're literally saving lives potentially by doing that.
Absolutely. And every little bit helps. If you can and want to, please donate at Alex Patakis on Twitter. It is his pinned tweet at the APC Pod for the show on Twitter. We've got our Linktree account there. Click there. And we've got a link there as well for Cycle for Survival. You can subscribe to the show. You can become a patron. All of that fun stuff. Well, cancer fundraiser is not fun. It's not fun stuff. Just to, one of those little turns of phrase. Awkward.
Yeah. It's a good cause. And the event itself, the Cycle for Survival event, very fun.
There you go. Oh, man. Good save. It's almost like you used to do radio. Good save.
I mean, I'm into the idea. It's at MetLife Stadium this year. I'll be like on the field cycling. It's gonna be cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Socially distanced.
Open air.
At MetLife Stadium.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, Alex Patakis, forever saving my bacon here on the APC pod. I am at Zach Rapport on Twitter. And have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy your smoked ribs, your pot of chili spilled on a carpet, whatever it is you're going to do this weekend to watch the game. Do it well. Be nice to each other and enjoy. Special season. Let's hope they keep it going. Go Pack, go.